Thank you. I hope that just shed some light on the country of Uruguay and the field that we're headed to. Uruguay is, diverse. The size of the country, land-wise, is about the size of the state of Missouri. Over 4 million people there. Most of them live in, urban towns, but those urban towns considered in Uruguay are not what we would consider urban towns here. You know, there might be 100,000 is a huge, huge city. And so there's people, and they need the gospel. Amen. So you can stop by our table after the service and check out some more just things about Uruguay. Please take a prayer card and pray for us. If you have any questions, let me know. I'm curious, if there's kids or teenagers, if you want to take a look at those coins that are over there, there's unique animals on each one of those coins. And each one of those animals are animals that you find in Uruguay. So you might enjoy that. In Acts chapter 16, we find the Macedonian call. And I know most people are familiar, that is, if you've been in church for a little while, you're familiar with the Macedonian call. And if you're not, that's okay. We're going to talk about it tonight. But it closely parallels just what God has done in Beth and my hearts as we have sought what the Lord would have us to do. We met in Bible college, Beth and I. We both have a desire and then and now to serve the Lord and the max that we possibly could. You know, we sang that song, Living for Jesus. And have you ever sung a hymn and you start to think about the words and you realize you never thought about the words and you start to think, man, wow, that's rich, that's good. And that happened to me as we were singing that song, just realizing that living for Jesus is about being all in. For me, it's the picture of I'm a slave or was a slave to sin. Jesus purchased me and now I have given him my life. I don't belong to myself. I belong to him. And as a Christian, I hope that's your belief as well, that you belong to Jesus Christ because he has purchased us. And so our desire is to do his will. And Beth and I have always had a heart for missions. And of course, Costa Rica and Uruguay have always been on our hearts. There were moments when we thought maybe the Lord would take us to Costa Rica. And other times when we thought, maybe Uruguay. And other times when I thought, who knows? Maybe Timbuktu. We're willing to go wherever God would have us to go. In Acts chapter 16, we find Paul as a missionary, and he has a team with him. And I don't think anyone would disagree that Paul was passionate about Jesus. He was interested, to say the least, about spreading the gospel. I want you to look at we'll just jump down to verses number 9 and 10. These are the main verses for what we're speaking about tonight. And then we'll backtrack a little bit and pick up a few principles. The Bible says in verse number 9, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." I want to speak to you on a missions vision, not just in your church, but a missions vision personally. Because the Great Commission is not something that we should just leave up to our church. And if we don't show up, well, then that's okay because it's the church's job. But Jesus gave us the Great Commission as disciples. We are to obey the Great Commission individually. And so please, as we speak tonight about the vision that God has for missions, I want you to not just think about this as a ministry of our church. What are we going to do for missions? But personally, what am I doing for missions? Because missions isn't just about reaching the world. It's about reaching your Jerusalem and your Judea and your Samaria as well. So before we get into it, let's pray and ask God to bless these few moments together. Heavenly Father, we need you. God, we don't want to just have church for the sake of having church. We don't want to just have a missionary in for the sake of having a missionary in. But God, we need you. We need you to get a hold of our hearts. I need you to get a hold of my heart. I need you to God, fill us with your Holy Spirit. And if there be a wayward way in us, God, that you would remove it so that we can accomplish your plan for us. And we know that that is your will. And so help us to have open hearts and open ears tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe that God has a missions vision for Bible Baptist Church. But I believe that God has a missions vision for you personally, Christian. In this text that we read, we're going to go back to verse number 4. And I'm going to show you from this text, three keys to God's vision for missions at Bible Baptist and in your life. Number 1, we see that vision is prefaced by obedience. vision is prefaced by obedience. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, and as they, this is talking about Paul and this group of this missions team that he has. The Bible says, and as they went through the cities, they delivered unto them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so Paul is busy already. He is living in obedience to the Great Commission. You know, maybe Paul didn't have a vision to go and deliver the decrees from Jerusalem to these different churches. The Bible says in verse number 5, so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. And that's a prayer for what we want to see done in Uruguay. We want to see churches established. That's the Great Commission. And so I don't know if Paul had a specific vision like the Macedonian call to go and do those things, but you know what Paul did have? He had the Great Commission that was delivered to the disciples, where Jesus said, go ye therefore. And he said, go where? Into just Jerusalem? No, into the whole world. So there's not like any limit on what Paul, a place that Paul can go. He can go anywhere. He is already in obedience to the command of God. It's clear that he was a propagator of the gospel. He was a soul winner. Romans 1:16, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This was his attitude. And listen, you may not know exactly how to get the job done or do the best at it, but are you obeying? Are you doing what you know to do? When Beth and I finished Bible college, I wasn't sure, you know, where the Lord would have us to go, and we went to what something they called interview days, which is where pastors and laborers from churches would come and just seek help and see if maybe they could find someone to come in on staff and work at the church. And so we ended up finding a position that way, and we thought, not sure where God wants us to go, what he wants us to do, but we want to be obeying. We know he wants us in full-time service, so let's do that. And I never had, a Macedonian call that said, hey, I want you to go here and do this. But I knew that God wanted us serving, and so we stepped out, and we went and did it. And, you know, even the mistakes that I've made along the way, I can see where God has blessed our obedience. And that's what God does. Luke 12:43 says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, because the night cometh when no man can work. God's will is found on the road of duty. And you may be in a spot right now where you think, I'm not sure if I should go to the left or the right. Don't know what God's will is for me right now. I have a big decision to make in my life, or I just don't feel settled where I am. I feel like I'm supposed to be somewhere else, or I'm supposed to be doing something different. And you may be in that position. Can I tell you? God's will is found on the road of duty. Serve God wherever you're at, and God will bless. That's what Paul was doing. He was confirming these churches. He was going place to place. He was living in obedience when God gave him that vision. We see examples of this in the life of Joseph. He obeyed his father to go to his brothers, and even though we would say it ended up in tragedy for him, God meant it for good to save much what? People alive. God used Joseph in Egypt to bring about his plan of salvation. And listen, you may be in a spot where you feel like you're in a ditch in life, but God has a plan to save much people alive through you. And so I want to encourage you to keep in obedience to God. Not only is obedience important, but your attitude toward obedience, because you can obey, but not with a happy heart. One thing my dad always told me, and now I say it a lot in my house with the boys, is obey right away the first time you're told with a happy heart, because that's important. The Bible says that motives matter. In Colossians 3:23, it says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And so I want you to think about, am I being obedient to everything that I know God wants me to do right now in my life? Is there anything that I've rebelled against? Because I guarantee you, God's not going to give you a vision for missions. God's not going to give you the next step unless there's already obedience in your life. So number one, let's be obedient. Amen. Number two, I want you to notice in verses number 6 and 7, the Bible says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of who? The Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. That's interesting. God forbade them from preaching the gospel in Asia. Verse number 7 says, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the what? Spirit suffered them not. The Spirit did not allow them to go into these places. Now, I don't think that God didn't want those people to get the gospel. And we'll see later where the gospel did go into those places. But it was not time, because God needed Paul somewhere else. And we know from the text, it was Macedonia. And so sometimes God will put the brakes on something that you think is clearly the word of God. The question is, will you and do you have the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit to take a right turn if God says take a right turn? what we see here is not only does obedience or vision is prefaced by obedience, but vision is predicated upon a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Why would God give a vision to someone who is not listening? Paul was listening. In John 16, 13, the Bible says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." The Holy Spirit matters, folks. He's the third person of the Trinity. He is a real person, and he is important in your spiritual life. There ought to be a desire to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do we even care what the Holy Spirit thinks? Does the thought, what does the Holy Spirit want me to do? Does that even cross our mind from day to day? I want to tell you, the Spirit-filled life is the most satisfying life. And I don't stand up here telling you that I've lived every moment of my life filled with the Holy Spirit. There have been rebellious times of my life for sure. And every day it's a recommitment of laying myself on the altar, dying daily and picking up my cross to follow him, living for Jesus as we sang, and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and direct my life. But is there a submission to the Holy Spirit in your life? Is there a desire to do what God wants you to do? There have been forks in the road in our lives. There was a moment when we left the ministry we were in Florida, and we decided to move to Iowa. And we weren't sure where we might live. We weren't sure where God might have us to go, you know, years from now. But we knew that God was leading us. And so we took a step of faith based on that. We believed God was in it. And can I tell you, God blessed above and beyond what I could ever ask or think. A.W. Tozer said, "The Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It's not like, oh, they have it because they're elite Christians. No, this is supposed to be normal Christianity. The Spirit-filled life is supposed to be the baseline, you know? This is the normal state of a Christian. If the Holy Ghost says no, do you obey? If the Holy Ghost says go, do you obey? If the Holy Ghost says yes, do you obey? Because God's no's are just as important as God's yes's." And we see here, this in this example of obedience to the Holy Spirit, it was a no. It was the Holy Spirit shutting the door. It was the Holy Spirit stopping them. And we're going to see how that played into Paul's decision, because Paul did make a decision to go to Macedonia. So we see that it is prefaced by obedience. It's predicated upon a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. But lastly, and we'll spend most of our time here tonight, vision should be followed by action. Once God has given you a vision for what he wants you to do, and specifically we're talking about missions. Beth and I, we prayed together about this. We sought the Lord. We sought counsel. We did everything that we knew to do to discover the word of God or the will of God in our lives. And as we did our best to obey God, you know, maybe we made some mistakes. We were doing our best. We did our best to be led of the Holy Spirit. God, is this what you want us to do? Not what I want to do. We began to sense that God was leading us to Uruguay. And you know what we did? We began to take action. We began to take steps. I want you to notice verse number 9. The Bible says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night." It's interesting that when this vision came to Paul, it came in the night. You know, night sometimes can represent darkness, fear, but night also represents when everything shuts down, when everything calms down. And I want you to think about the night times of your life as those times when you put everything aside and you allow God to speak into your life. That's what we have here. Nighttime comes, God speaks to Paul. If you remember, Jesus would frequently do this. In Luke 9:15, the Bible says, "And great multitudes came together to hear Jesus and to be healed by him of their infirmities." And in other words, there's tons of ministry happening. You know, and sometimes we think ministry, yeah, doing ministry, I'm serving God, I'm loving God. But look what Jesus does. It says he withdrew himself. He left the ministry. Why? He withdrew himself unto the wilderness and prayed. This is an example of a night moment in Jesus' life when he left the chaos, the static of life, to give God his full attention. You know, as Americans, we need to be careful about the constant scrolling. We need to be careful about a screen always in front of us. There's always static. There's always noise. And it's important for us to have nighttime moments, and you have to be intentional about it. You have to create those moments in your life, your personal life, to give God a voice, because God doesn't speak in a bombastic, loud voice, does he? How does the Bible say God speaks? A still, small voice. And of course, the enemy, Satan, would love nothing more than to disrupt and confuse us with God's voice. And so we must have nighttime moments. And so I want you to notice that this vision happened during a nighttime moment in Paul's life. And the Bible says, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go. Look at the type of obedience that Paul has. The Bible says immediately. That doesn't mean he conferred with others. He prayed on it for a while. It was immediately. Immediately they took action. And what was their action? Did they immediately go? No. And it's very cool, because when I read this verse, it helped me to realize, look, it's okay if you don't immediately go right when God tells you, because here's what happens. Look, I'm not advocating disobedience to God. It says immediately we endeavored to go. So here's what I imagine happening. Paul wakes up maybe after that night and he says, hey guys, listen, I had a dream last night. And, you know, the guys may be chuckling, oh, Paul, it was just that Sicilian pizza we had last night. You're just, you know, hungover from that. No, Paul says, no, God spoke to me. And this is what happened. There was a Macedonian man, and he was saying, come over and help us. Guys, remember when we tried to go into Bithynia and the Holy Spirit said no? Remember when we essayed to go into Mysia and the Holy Spirit said no? I think that God wants us to go into Macedonia. And so they begin to move. They begin to mobilize. They begin to take action. When Beth and I, kind of this moment for us was when we were sitting in bed in Iowa and we were talking about this, you know, and I said, Beth, we've been praying about this. I feel like we need to do something. We need to take a step. And she said, well, let's call our parents. And we have, thankfully, were raised in Christian homes, and our parents are sources of wisdom and counsel for us. And so we reached out to our parents, and we shared with them this burden. We feel like this is what God is, the direction he wants us to go. And they were obviously very supportive and happy about that. We began to talk to our pastor. We began to take steps, you know, transitioning out of ministries here and there so that we could go. We began to endeavor to go. This word endeavor is very interesting. It's the word, let me find it here. The word endeavor is the Greek word zeteo, and it means to seek out a way. It's to devote serious and sustained effort. So Paul and his team immediately began making plans to go to Macedonia. You know, maybe they started shopping for boat tickets. Maybe they started just packing up their gear. Maybe they started looking for Airbnbs over in Philippi, which is the chief city of Macedonia. They started mobilizing, endeavoring to go into this place. And listen, when Beth and I began to move in the direction of Uruguay, there was still, you know, a percentage of doubt. You know, maybe we're just kind of taking steps as we believe the Lord is leading us. But I would say I was never 100% sure about anything. It was 90% sure and 10% step of faith, 10% jump, 10% leap, and see what God does. And can I tell you something? And hopefully this will encourage you. God has always blessed that. God has never let us down. God has overwhelmingly confirmed each one of those steps. Now, I'm not advocating for, you know, 10% you think that's what God wants you to do, and the 90% jump. That's not wise. Okay, seek counsel. Let there be a word from God in the Bible that the Lord, you feel like he's showing you through his word what you want him to do, what he wants you to do. But then don't be afraid to take a leap of faith. Remember when the Israelites were crossing the Jordan River, God didn't part the water until the priests stepped their foot into the waters of the Jordan. They had to take a step of faith, and then God performed the miracle. God confirmed it. So it was immediate obedience. It was an endeavoring obedience. I want you to look, it was a collaborative obedience. In verse number 10, again, it says, after he, Paul, had seen the vision, immediately, what's the next word? What's the next word? We endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called who? Us. So here's what's going on. Paul had the vision. Paul says, guys, God gave me a vision for where he wants us to go. And all the men concluded, God has called us to go to Macedonia. This was not a Paul show. They didn't say, all right, Paul, you pack up, you go, you do what God's called you to do. We'll stay here and wait for a word from the Lord, a vision from God ourselves. And I want you to think about this. God wants you to do what he wants, but he also gave you a pastor to lead, a shepherd. And God has provided a vision through your pastor of, okay, this is what Bible Baptist Church is going to do to reach our community. This is what Bible Baptist Church is going to do to get the gospel out. This is how we're going to support missionaries. This is what we're going to do to obey the Great Commission. And you know what we need to do? We need to do what Paul's team said. We need to say, God's given you a vision. We conclude that God has called us to obey that vision. Bible Baptist Church, can I encourage you? Get on board with the vision. Get on board with what God is leading this church to do. As we grow to the Lord, as we grow in the Lord and we go closer to the Lord, what's supposed to happen in a local New Testament church is everyone is of the same mind. Everyone is together in all things. Everyone is united. And we see that in the book of Acts in the church. They were united in all things. We see it repeated, that theme of unity in the church over and over again. Paul beseeches us to be of the same mind. Why? Because it's a collaborative commission that God has given us. We are supposed to do this together. It's not, oh, God's not really, you know, I'm not gifted in talking to people, so I'll give so others can go, but I'm not going to talk to anybody. No, this is a together. Let's do this together. Maybe you're not gifted in giving. Well, hook up with someone who is and let God grow that area of your life. Maybe you're not gifted in speaking to others. You're kind of introverted. Go soul winning with somebody who is and learn to grow that area of life. But let's not be complacent. You know, it reminds me of something that Wayne Gretzky said. I love Sports Illustrations. And if you don't know who that is, he was a very well-known hockey player. And he's probably the greatest hockey player of all time. He still holds dozens of records. But he said this. He said, the greatness of my game came from this. He said, you will miss 100% of every shot you don't take. He said, you'll miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And what was his point? His point was, take a shot. Take shots. In your soul winning, in doing things for God, you may feel like, you have the failure syndrome. I'm afraid of falling flat on my face. Can I challenge you to take a shot? Because one day you'll look back and see how many times God blessed, God blessed, God blessed, God blessed. I remember when I first led someone to Christ, it was a disaster. I mean, you know, from a soul winning perspective, it was a disaster. But there was no denying that guy got saved. He accepted Christ. And God blesses when we step out by faith and obey him. And specifically, we're talking about the Great Commission. So I want to encourage you, if God has, and God has, I already know, put lost people around you, step out and speak to them about the gospel. You can't go to Uruguay. I mean, you can, but you probably are not going to. But you can go to your neighbor. You can go to the folks that you interact with on a daily basis. You can lead them to Christ, and God can bless those things. And so we see it's a collaborative obedience. It's a deliberate obedience. They endeavored to go. And finally, we see it's a trusting obedience. I want you to look at verse 10 again. It says, after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. And I love these two words, assuredly gathering, that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. You know, this assuredly gathering, it doesn't say, and we knew that God had led us. Why doesn't the scripture say that? It doesn't. It says, we assuredly gathered that the Lord had called us. There's a difference. You know what happened? Paul already knew God wanted him to reach people. He was already doing it. He endeavored to take the gospel into two different places with his missionary team, and God closed the doors. He has a vision now of a man from Macedonia calling him, saying, come help us. So he puts two and two together and confidently concludes, he assuredly gathers, okay, guys, I think this is what God's trying to say. I think this is what God is leading us to do. And let me tell you something. There was a time in my life when I did not believe this was the right way to go about discovering God's will for your life. I thought there needs to be a writing on the wall. There needs to be, you know, hand painting in the sky. There needs to be something dramatic where God says, boom, this is what God wants you to do. But the more I grow as a Christian, the longer I live learning the way God works. God works with a relationship. And it's as we seek and follow him, God begins to impress on our hearts, this is what I want you to do. And God confirms it when we take a step of faith. That's my alarm. God will bless if you decide, okay, you know what, Lord, help my fear. You know, maybe it's unbelief. Help my unbelief. But I believe you're leading me to do this. I've sought counsel. You've given me over and over. I see it all over my Bible reading and prayer. I just feel like you're pushing me to do this. God, I'm going to take a leap of faith. And then you do that, God will bless. Look at verse number 10 again. It says that they assuredly gathered, the Lord was calling them to preach the gospel. And then in verse number 11, it says, therefore, in other words, because they concluded, here's what they did. Loosing from Troas. In order to step out by faith and do what God's calling you to do, Bible Baptist Church, you're going to have to loose from Troas. You're going to have to let go of where you have been in order to be where God's leading you. And that can be scary sometimes, but it is fun. It is a fun way to live, living by faith, leading, being led by the Holy Spirit, and allowing him to take you where he wants you to go. So listen, I don't know how God is working in your life. For Beth and I, we began to feel impressed that God was leading us specifically to Uruguay. We had a chance to go to Uruguay. I mentioned in the video, we got to see some of the specific spiritual needs of the people. There were things that happened in our lives where I just felt like God has literally trained us for Uruguay without even us trying. You know, God has, you know, prepared us. And what we did was we assuredly gathered. There was one day where Beth and I talked, and I said, I think God's given us a vision for Uruguay. I think we need to start taking some steps. And you know what we had to do? We had to loose from Troas. It wasn't Troas. It was Fort Dodge, Iowa. But we loosed from Fort Dodge, Iowa. And we miss it. It was home. But we're excited to be obeying God. We're excited to be going where God is calling us to go. I want to end with this. One of the ways that God blessed Paul, in Philippi, he met a woman named Lydia. Lydia was a seller of, anybody know? Purple, that's right. She was a businesswoman. Philippi was a business town, big town, a chief city, the Bible says there. Lydia gets saved. She invites them. She hosts. She takes care of she gets invested in the mission, the Great Commission, and she cares about the missionary. And she begins to host Paul in her home. You see it. She compels them to come and stay with her. Then we go to and read in the book of Philippians. You remember where the Bible, or Paul says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. That's the book of Philippians, which Philippi, that's the city where they went to. They loosed from Troas and they went to Philippi, planted a church. Lydia was in that church. And you know what? I think Lydia caught the vision that Paul had. Lydia caught the vision of the Great Commission. And I believe with all my heart, Lydia was a big financial supporter of Paul. We see that Philippi, time and again, he says in the book of Philippians, you sent unto my necessity, and you only. The Philippian Christians that had gotten saved because Paul obeyed that vision, they began to support Paul. They got invested in the vision. You see, God, this is how God works. This is what God does. And we didn't know where all we would be going. You know, we didn't know we'd have meetings all over the country and meet all kinds of amazing people. And we've had opportunities to minister along the way. Just the other day, a pastor emailed me about a situation, and he knew that we had gone through something similar in our lives. And he asked for prayer and, you know, any advice. And God's given us opportunities like that because we obey step by step. Faith. That's how we live. And so can I ask you, what is God's vision for you? What's God's vision for your church? Do you care what God's vision is for you and for your church? Because I promise you, it's better than living without it. Living, doing what God wants you to do is the best way to live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for, God, the privilege of getting to be involved in the Great Commission. I pray for Fort Mill. I pray for Bible Baptist Church. I pray for just the Charlotte area and down there in Greenville, God. Many more churches than there are in Uruguay, and yet more people moving to this area than maybe there ever has in this area's history. And we need churches. We need people who will share the gospel. God, I don't know how you've worked in all of our hearts, but I pray that we would have willingness to obey. In Jesus' name, amen.